ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य ततो जयामुदीरये। श्री प्रभुपाद की
जय।
सो आई विल रीड टुडे द थर्ड वर्स ऑफ द नाइन्थ चैप्टर ऑफ भगवद गीता व्हिच इज कॉल्ड द मोस्ट कॉन्फिडेंशियल नॉलेज। This is the verse which describes the necessity of Shraddha, of faith. And I will speak a little bit about this topic. Ashraddhanaha Purushaha Dharmasya Asya Parantapa Apratya Mam Nivardante Mrityu Samsara Vartmani Ashraddhana Purusha Dharmasya Sya Parantapa Apratyamani Vartante Mrityu Samsara Vartmani Ashraddhana Purusha Dharmasya Sya Parantapa Apratyamani Vartante Mrityu Samsara Vartmani Ashraddhana Purusha Dharmasya Sya Parantapa Apratyamani Vartante Mrityu Samsara Vartmani Ashraddhana Those who are faceless. Purushaha, such persons. Dharmasya, toward the process of religion.
Asya,
this. Parantapa, or killer of enemies. Apratya, without obtaining. Mam,
me.
Nivartante.
Come back.
Mrityu.
Of death.
Samsara.
Material existence.
Vartmani.
On the path.
Translation. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, a conqueror of enemies. Therefore they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. The faceless people cannot accomplish this process of devotional service. That is the purport of this verse. Faith is created by association with devotees Unfortunate people, even after hearing all the evidences of the Vedic literature from great personalities, still have no faith in God. They are hesitant and cannot stay fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. Thus, faith is the most important factor for progress in Krishna consciousness. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that faith is the complete conviction that simply by serving the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, one can achieve all perfection. This is called real faith. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Yatha taror mulam nisei chanena pripyanti tatskanda bujo pasakap pranopaharachcha yathen driyanam tathaiva sarvarhanam achyutejya. By giving water to the root of the tree, one satisfies its branches, twigs and leaves. And by supplying food to the stomach, one satisfies all the senses of the body. Similarly, by engaging in the transcendental service to the Supreme Lord, one automatically satisfies all the demigods and all other living entities. Therefore, after reading Bhagavad Gita, one should promptly come to the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. One should give up all other engagements and adopt the service of the Supreme Lord, Krishna, the Personality of God. If one is convinced of this philosophy of life, that is called faith. Now, the development of that faith is the process of Krishna consciousness. There are three divisions of Krishna conscious man. In the third class are those who have no faith. Even if they are officially engaged in devotional service, they cannot achieve the highest perfectional stage. Most probably, they will sleep after some time. They may become engaged, but because they haven't complete conviction and faith, it is very difficult for them to continue in Krishna consciousness. We have practical experience in discharging our missionary activity that some people come and apply themselves to Krishna consciousness with some hidden motive. And as soon as they are economically a little well situated, they give up this process and take their old ways again. It is only by faith that one can advance in Krishna consciousness. As far as the development of faith is concerned, one who is well versed in the literature of devotional service and has attained the stage of firm faith is called first-class person in Krishna consciousness. And in the second class are those who are not very advanced in understanding of devotional scriptures, but who automatically have firm faith that Krishna bhakti or service to Krishna is the best course. So in good faith, they've taken it up. Thus they are superior to the third class who have neither perfect knowledge of the scriptures nor good faith, but by association and simplicity are trying to follow. The third class of person in Krishna consciousness may fall down, but when it is in the second class, one is in the second class, he does not fall down. And for the first class in Krishna consciousness, there is no chance of falling down. One in the first class will surely make progress and achieve the result at the end. As far as the third class person in Krishna consciousness is concerned, although he has faith in the conviction that devotional service to Krishna is very good, he has not yet gained adequate knowledge of Krishna through scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes this third class persons in Krishna consciousness have some tendency toward karma yoga and jnana yoga, and sometimes they are disturbed. And as soon as the infection of karma yoga or jnana yoga is vanquished, they become second class or first class persons in Krishna consciousness. Faith in Krishna is also divided into three stages described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. First class attachment, second class attachment, and third class attachment are also explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 11th canto. Those who have no faith even after hearing about Krishna and the excellence of devotional service, who think that it is simply eulogy, find the path very difficult, even if they are supposedly engaged in devotional service. For them, there is very little hope of gaining perfection. That faith is very important in the discharge of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
People from internally present today, one translation.
Line by line.
No. When you start the discourse,
you will translate. Yes. Line by line.
Yes, line by line. Oh, few sentences. Joy.
Asradadhana purusha dharmasya sya parantapa pratyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore they return to the path of birth and death in this material world.
Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ombam Adhyayam, Raja Yoga, Bhagavad Gita, Ombam Adhyayam, Shlokam അഞ്ചോ മൂന്നോ. അതിൽ ഭഗവാൻ പറയുന്നതെന്ന് വെച്ച് കഴിഞ്ഞാൽ, ശ്രദ്ധയില്ലാത്ത നമ്മുടെ ഭക്തിയോഗത്തിൽ ശ്രദ്ധയില്ലാത്ത ആൾക്കാർ ഒരിക്കലും എന്നെ ഒരിക്കലും കിട്ടില്ല. അവർ ഈ സംസാരസാഗരത്തിൽ തന്നെ മുഴുകിക്കൊണ്ട് തിരിച്ചൊരിക്കലും അവർ അവിടേക്ക് തന്നെ തിരിച്ചു പോകുന്നതായിരിക്കും.
ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണൻ.
നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപൃഷ്ടായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമാതെ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷശൂന്യവാദി പശ്ചാത്താപേക്ഷകാരി ജയ ശ്രീ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശിവാസ ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ
ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ രാമ രാമ
If it's only 7 or 8 people, maybe they can sit in one corner and you can translate there simultaneously and then ask.
Okay,
then it
okay,
will be better.
Okay.
If possible.
Yes.
Ajano Vandita Bujo Kanaka Vadato Sankirtanai Katitaro Kamala Yataksha Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Pala Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataro Yantah Pravishya Mama Vachyam Imam Prasuktam Sanjeevaya Takila Shakti Dharak Svadhamna Anyam Shahasta Charana Shravanat Vagadim Pranannamo Bhagavate Purushaya Tubhyam
Hare
Krishna. So I'll speak English and Satyavrati Prabhu will translate for those who don't know English in Malayalam. Asradadhana purusha dharmasya sya parantapam apratyamam nivartante mritu samsara vartmane. So the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita is called Most Confidential Knowledge. We know that Srila Prabhupada specifically stresses the importance of this ninth chapter. Because in other parts of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about karma yoga, he talks a little bit about jnana,
But the most important sandesh, message of Bhagavad Gita is bhakti. Even though it's kind of hidden. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, by explaining the structure of Bhagavad Gita, says that when you have a nice box and you keep jewelry in this box, then on the surface you may also have some jewels, because it's very valuable thing inside. But the most important treasure is inside. So he says, in the same way, on the surface of Bhagavad Gita, there is Karma Yoga and there is Jnana Yoga. But the hidden treasure is right in the center, in the middle of it. So the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita is the middle chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna discloses the most confidential knowledge. Raja Vidya, Raja Guhya. He says, this is Raja Vidya, the king of all knowledge, and this is Raja Guhyam. This is the most important secret everyone has to know. And basically, the end or conclusion of this chapter is Man Manabhava Mad Bhaktomam Yajimam Namaskuru. You have to think about me, you have to become my devotee, you have to bow down on me, and you have to worship me. This is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. The whole Bhagavad Gita, 700 verses, is spoken by Krishna just to tell this most secret knowledge. Man manabhava mad bhakto, mam yaji mam namaskuru. Krishna says, mam. To me. Some people say he's very proud. Krishna is not proud. Krishna is God. And the proof that he is not proud is that he is driving the chariot of Arjuna. Somebody who is proud will not do this. But Krishna is very humble. You know, if it's necessary, he would wash the horses of Arjuna. At the end of the day, everyone would go and take some prasadam and take rest. And Krishna would wash the horses of Arjuna. Krishna would do some menial service because he's so great. The great people, they are not afraid to be minimized because they know they cannot be minimized. And therefore Krishna discloses the truth, and he says, it's very difficult to understand this truth. It's Raja Guhyam. Most of the people cannot understand this because of the envy. The hindrance within our heart, which is the main obstacle for us to accept Bhagavad Gita and to accept Krishna, is the envy, which we may not understand, which we may not be conscious about. We have only one problem. Sometimes people say, I have so many problems. Like yesterday, some Muslim workers came to me. They're working in this little place where I'm staying. And they asked me to tell them, you know, to look in their hands, because they looked at me and they said, he must be some, you know, person who can tell the future. Anyway, and then they started telling, I have this problem and that problem, you know, this. Wife, my job, no money, this and that. And actually there is only one problem. People think the problem is that they don't have money. Sometimes people think the problem is that, you know, the government is bad. So many problems or, you know, crisis is there. This is not a problem. There is only one problem. Our stubborn unwillingness to surrender to God. The total lack of desire, which is based on the envy of God, which is very deeply rooted. Therefore, Krishna says, it's Raja Guhyam, it's secret. So many people hear this, not many people follow this. So many people know Bhagavad Gita. You ask anyone on the street, especially in Kerala, somebody is working on a pedicure. You ask him about Bhagavad Gita, he starts saying Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. But they don't follow. They don't want to surrender. Why? Because of this problem. And this is the root cause of all their misfortune. Ultimately, this is our misfortune. They don't want to surrender, to fall down our head. Krishna says, if you cannot think about me, if you cannot become my devotee, at least try to fall down your head. Mam yaji mam namaskuru. Mam namaskuru. Even this is very because there is some problem with the spine here. It doesn't bend. You have to stand like this. And before disclosing this secret, he wants to explain the qualification, the adhikar. What is the basic adhikar which is needed for us to understand this secret? This is the standard procedure of Vedic literature. In the beginning of any Vedic literature, the author has to say who is the adhikari, who is the proper person to receive this knowledge, to understand this knowledge. So Krishna, very interestingly, doesn't start Bhagavad Gita with this. He doesn't explain this, Chatuspadaya, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. But here in the ninth chapter, which is the most important, to stress, to emphasize the importance of this chapter, he starts explaining the adhikar. What is the adhikar? What you should have to understand this knowledge. And he speaks this beautiful verse. Ashradadhana purusha dharmasya syaparantapa apratyamam nivartante vridyu samsara vartmani. Somebody doesn't have faith in this dharma which I am about to describe. In this dharma which is the very essence of your heart. Because dharma means nothing but the nature of the living being. I'm going to explain to you your own nature. And if you don't have the complete faith in your nature, because it is our nature to worship God. But if we don't have the complete faith, then apratyamam nivartante, they try. They try to do something. They practice something. Chanting. They go to temple when they need some extra money for their vacation. Or some other material need. But then, mrityu samsara vatmani. Apratyamam nivartan. Krishna tells that the unfortunate lot of the majority of people in this world is that they try some devotional service. Most of the people, believe it or not, do believe in God. Still, even though it is 21st century, it is the complete Kali Yuga, it is the complete victory of American culture all over the world, still people believe in God. Even in America, believe it or not, even in America, majority of people believe in God. But Krishna says, apratyamam nivartan. They cannot achieve me. They have some little faith, some little understanding, but because of the lack of faith, mrityu samsara vartmani, they come back. They come back to the samsara and they are born again and again and again. And very importantly, Srila Prabhupada explains this in this purport, that the faith is developed and can be developed. This is what we have to understand. We have to understand what it means faith, because we may have some little faith, but Srila Prabhupada says that if the faith is of the third class, it's not enough. He says, most probably these people will sleep. Sleep not in the meaning of sleeping. They will sleep during the class too. That's also true. But sleep means they sleep out of this path of devotional service. They will not be able to stay on the path. The path will be too slippery for them. They will just, you know, try to tread the path, to do few steps on it, but they will not be able to stay on it. And Prabhupada, very interestingly, he says that thus they are superior to this third class who have neither perfect knowledge of the scriptures nor the good faith. What he says here, that this faith of the third class, or the beginning faith, which is coming because of our simplicity, because of the simplicity of people, is not enough. And I want to tell a little bit about this faith, which is the third class faith. Because again, majority of people, they have some faith in God, and they have some faith in devotional service. Because any religion you take, it teaches about devotional service. Christianity, what is Christianity? They go and pray, they do some kind of kirtan, especially here in India. They go to Christian church and there is some kirtan going on, some bhajan, some Christian bhajan. Jesus save us, Jesus save us. So the faith is there. You know, Muslim religion, it's also called, you know, you're supposed to be a devotee, you're supposed to be devoted to God, you know, because this is what a Muslim faith is. But the problem is that this faith is not strong enough, and this faith is not really convincing enough for somebody to understand that Krishna is the focal point of my life. What happens in majority of people, they have faith in God and they put God somewhere in the corner. He's there. Let him be there. They remain the center of their own life. That's the problem. My problem, my consciousness, my petty kind of misunderstandings or whatever remain the prominent parts of my consciousness. Not God. I'm not thinking about God. Krishna says, what is Krishna consciousness? Krishna consciousness means you think about me. Whom about we think? We think about us. Very dear to us. You know, all the time we think about ourselves. This is me. This is what I need. This is what this should be, and so on and so forth. They cannot make Krishna the focal point. Srila Prabhupada explains very beautifully that what is faith? Faith means understanding that if Krishna is happy, you will be happy. If Krishna is happy with you, you will be happy. You have no other chance. And if Krishna is not happy with you, you will not be happy. Again, there is no other chance for that. You know, this is the understanding which constitutes the basis of the faith. Faith means, I understand, if Krishna is happy with me, I'm fine. And if Krishna is not happy, no matter how I try, how hard I try to become happy, it's not going to work. People in this world, they're really working hard to become happy. You know, everyone, you know, they think I will become happy if I have a car. You know, the car cannot make you happy. I have one lady, she's a friend of Krishna consciousness. She's a very rich lady. I mean, really, she has millions. And not millions, but, you know, she's rich lady. She came once to me and she said, I bought a very expensive car. The most expensive car. This car cost $200,000. Some really Porsche or whatever, I don't know, Jaguar. I don't know what it is. Some, you know, some car with golden engine or whatever it is. She said, I was happy for 3 days. For 3 days I was happy. You know, I was driving and I was looking about and, you know, everyone was looking at me. She said, after 3 days I cannot become happy again. This is the same car, this is the same me, I am not happy. Because the car cannot make you happy. Car doesn't have this nature of making us happy. Only Krishna can make us happy. Because when he is happy and we are in relationship with him, we become automatically happy. Prahlad Maharaj gives this very important law of nature. He says, unless you stop trying to become happy, you will not be able to become happy. The only thing which you need to become happy, just stop trying to become happy. And you work hard and hard and hard and hard and hard and hard and hard to become happy, you remain miserable. The moment you stop trying to do this, you become happy. That's a very interesting law. There was a nice story. This is a story from China. There was an old man, and he was very miserable. His whole life he was very miserable, and he was bitter, and he was quarreling with everyone, and he was really, really nasty character. And everyone in the village hated him. Everyone hated him. And then all of a sudden, when he became 88 years old, There was a news which spread in the village. And everyone started saying, you know, he became happy. And the whole village came to him to see. And he was sitting there and smiling for the first time in his life. So all the people, villagers asked, how come you became happy? He said, my whole life I was trying to become happy, it didn't work. When I became 88 years old, I realized that there is no hope for me to become happy, and I became happy at this very moment. He said, I stopped trying. And this is exactly what Prahlad Maharaj says, you know, until we are trying to become happy ourselves, we are not going to become happy. The focal point of our endeavors, of our, you know, we have God-given abilities, the focal point should be Krishna. If Krishna is there, the focal point of our endeavors, we become happy automatically. And this is called faith. But when the people have some beginning faith, they cannot have this conviction. In the beginning, they do devotional service just in case it works. You know, somebody tells you, why don't you chant? And they think, you know, why don't I chant? There is no harm. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
But if you do it with this consciousness, if you are not doing it wholeheartedly, you will not do it properly. And because you will not do it properly, you will not get the reciprocation from Krishna. And in this way, the happiness which you expect will not come from chanting. You will do it for yourself. You will do it with selfish motivation. Like Srila Prabhupada says, that sometimes people come to our movement and they have hidden motivations. They have some contamination, karma yoga or jnana yoga. And therefore they cannot apply their heart completely to the process of devotional service. And because of this they fail. Because of this they don't have proper experience in devotional service. The happiness is not coming to them. It's interesting how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the nature of this faith. He says that the beginning faith, which we gain basically from others, which is not ours, which is more or less borrowed faith, which the faith which we got from some association, from some good association. He said it's called Balat Utpadita. Balat Utpadita literally means forced faith. The faith which is not really natural for you. The faith which is coming from the outside source. Like sometimes people have faith because their neighbors have faith. You know, neighbors go to the temple, and because, you know, if you don't go to the temple, people will look not nicely at you. You know, they will not appreciate you. Or sometimes, you know, when you live especially in a traditional background, you know, you are supposed to do certain things. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that if this faith is not your own, if you don't really realize why you need it, why you need to worship Krishna, if it's kind of forced by some social convention on you, or by somebody who is little charismatic and he somehow or other convinced you. Sometimes we preach to other people and we become really forceful, you know, you go to hell. Christians, they're very good at this. You know. They get some big, big gathering and then they say, blah, 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 you will burn to hell. And everyone, oh, if I don't believe in Jesus, I go to hell. So, you know. But they say, this is useless. This kind of faith, which is instigated by fear, which instigated by some kind of force upon you, which is not coming from your own conscience, from your own heart, from your own understanding, it's useless. Because it cannot give you the proper proper kind of mood to practice properly, the mood will be wrong. You know, you will do it, you know, just because you are afraid or just because everyone wants you or everyone expects you to do this. Sometimes it happens, you know, in the society of devotees too. Like little children. You know, they don't have faith. But they're suffering. Because they are, you know, they feel dependent. That they feel they have to do it, you know, because, you know, otherwise they will not get some sweets or whatever. So basically it has no meaning. This kind of faith or this kind of understanding has no proper meaning, because ultimately it will not bring you to Krishna. What Krishna wants to say here, apratyamam nivartantem vidyu samsara vartmani, why people go back to samsara? Because they don't experience happiness or bliss of Krishna consciousness. And therefore, they have to seek happiness in samsara. Because, as Srila Prabhupada very beautifully explains, by nature we are pleasure-seeking entities. We need pleasure. We need happiness. We are, by nature, very nature of the soul, we want happiness. So if we don't get happiness from Krishna, we will try to seek happiness in Coca-Cola. You know, there is only two choices. Either Krishna or some Coca-Cola or cricket game. I don't know what other pleasures in samsara there. So sex life. So this is the alternative which we have. And therefore the face has to be, you know, Srila Jiva Goswami, he gives another classification of another nomenclature to this beginning phase. He says that the beginning phase, or as Srila Prabhupada says, the third class phase, is called Lokik. Lokik means, you know what Lokik means. Lokik means social phase. Phase which is coming from some kind of social convention. Phase which is there by tradition. You know, sometimes people, they're just traditional Hindus. What does it mean, traditional Hindus? It means you worship practically everyone, starting from Rajiv Gandhi and ending with Ganesh, you know, and everyone in between this. Just in case it works. Just in case it gives you something. You know, basically, this logic kind of understanding is not going to help you. It's not going to help you out to get out of this samsara. So, therefore, there should be other phase, and this other phase, Srila Prabhupada says, even you have achieved the second kind of phase, there is no question of you falling down. This is what is beautiful. You don't have to be very elevated. Srila Prabhupada says, even if you achieve the second level, it's enough. You don't have to be, you know, first class devotee. Second class is enough. It's okay. Krishna says, you know, if you have base of second class, that's fine. And Srila Jiva Goswami explains what is the base of second class. Or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that the second class phase, the first class phase, third class phase, the low class phase is Balatutpadita, and the real phase is called Svabhaviki. And Svabhaviki means natural. Svabhaviki means something which you can see within your own heart. Svabhaviki means you found this phase not outside of you, inside. When the face, the source of face, remains outside of you, your own heart, your own consciousness, it's not going to help you. So, Srila Jiva Goswami calls this face Shastriya Shraddha. What is Shraddha? Shraddha means face in Shastra. You know, basically, this is the distinguishing factor. And Srila Prabhupada stresses this and explains this in the purport. If you know, if you understand the structure of Bhagavad Gita, if you really understand the meaning, the purport of Bhagavad Gita, that's enough. This space can help you, can save you. If you don't have this, you're just blind follower. Just because everyone is jumping, you're also jumping. You know? Like during the kirtan, everyone is jumping and you're standing, and everyone is looking at you and you start jumping. You know? Not because you feel good, but because you know everyone is jumping, you're jumping. It's a good physical exercise. It helps for your health. But it's not real. It's not something which really can help you. There is a nice story from Prabhupada's life. When Prabhupada was trying to teach how it is bad to have blind faith. You know, because usually as soon as there is some society, somebody is a blind follower, for sure. Even if this society is consists of two people, the second one will be blind. You know, the first one will be the leader, the second one will be just blind follower. Usually this is how it works in the society. This is the bad thing about the society. The good thing about the society, it gives you some kind of incentive or some kind of impetus to do it. But at the same time, somehow or other, you have the tendency to switch off your brain when everyone is following. You know, you socialize in some society, everyone is following and you're also following. You come to Sunday feast program, you know, you eat some prasadam, you're happy. That's it. You think there is no need for me to read Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is for somebody who gives the class. You know, it's not for me, but it's for you. That's the point. It's for every one of us to understand. There was a nice story about Prabhupada. Once Prabhupada was in Los Angeles. And he had a group of devotees with him, and they were walking in the Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills is the most richest, you know, district in all Los Angeles and the whole of America. If somebody says, I live in Beverly Hills, it means he's a multimillionaire. You know. And they were walking, and there were nice mansions here and there, you know, two stories, three stories, big, big houses. And Prabhupada looked at this mansion, and he said to his devotees, it would be nice to have this mansion. We would use it for Krishna consciousness. And all the devotees said, Jai Hari Bol, Srila Prabhupada, yes, yes, yes. We would use this nicely in Krishna consciousness. And they were walked a little bit more. And then there was a big car, you know, this limousine car, which is in America, you know, it's probably, I don't know, it's from this house to this house. Very deep. You know, people sometimes have swimming pools in this car. So at least they can sleep nicely in these cars. So, or they have some parties there. Anyway, so this big car was there. And Prabhupada said, it would be nice to have this big car for Krishna consciousness. We would use it to service Krishna. And all the devotees said, Jai Prabhupada, Jai, how you go? We would use this car in Krishna consciousness. And they walked a little further. And there was again a big house. And there was a big dog there. And the dog started running to them. And Prabhupada said, it would be nice to have such a big dog in Krishna consciousness. We would use it for Krishna. And everyone said, Jai! We would use this dog in Krishna. Prabhupada said, you're crazy. How you can use this moochy dog in Krishna consciousness? So Prabhupada cheated. Because what he wanted to say, you shouldn't be a blind follower. You shouldn't be just Jai. No matter what Jai, you know. That's it. You have to understand. That has to come from your own heart. That's the point. And the consciousness is switched on when you start reading Bhagavad Gita and thinking about Bhagavad Gita, not just reading as a ritual. You know, people, that's the main problem which we have, is that we tend to be mechanical. We're waiting for the moment when we can do something mechanically. You know, and the Krishna consciousness, the practice of Krishna consciousness, we also have the same tendency to do it mechanically. I need to chant, fine, 16 rounds, no problem. Just switch it off, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare That's it. But it's called Krishna consciousness. It doesn't call Krishna unconsciousness or something like that. It's not called Krishna mechanicalness. It's called Krishna consciousness. It means that the consciousness has to be switched off. You have to become alert. And scriptures are for that. What scripture describes your own problems. It is in Patanjali Yoga Sutras of Maharshi Patanjali, he said that, and we know that that the studying of the scriptures is called Svadhyaya, right? When we study the scriptures, it's called Svadhyaya. What it means? Literally, Svadhyaya means you think about yourself. Svadhyaya means meditation about what is you. So, basically, when you study scriptures, it means you have to meditate what it means for me. What I have to do. What Krishna wants to say to me. You know, 5,000 years ago, Krishna came to this earth. For whom he came? For you and for me. For every one of us. That's his mercy. He spoke Bhagavad Gita, you know, he arranged the whole battle of Kurukshetra just to speak Bhagavad Gita. So that we know how important it is. So that we know that every verse in Bhagavad Gita is so important for us. So this is the consciousness which has to be there, in which we should study Gita. And therefore, Prabhupada explains that, you know, the face of second class means you read and you do. Face of third class means you read and you feel good about it. Face of third class means nothing. Face of third class doesn't change anything within your heart and within your life. But the face of second class means that you read something and you try to sincerely apply it in your life. You try to immediately, like here, the main message of here, of this purport of Prabhupada is basically, it's that you can develop your faith. And the way to develop your faith is to study scriptures. If you study scriptures, the faith automatically develops. Because you understand, that's it. There is no other way. I mean, that's it. How it can be otherwise? You know, initially you may get this feeling, but when you understand that that's it, that the only thing which I have to do is to worship Krishna. He is the main person in this world. And if I worship him, I get everything which I need. I'll get everything. Don't worry about this. Krishna will worry about this. Krishna says that if somebody thinks about me, I'm in your heart and he is in my heart. And if somebody doesn't think about me, I'm not in his heart and he's not in my heart. That's simple. That's a simple logic. And if we are in the heart of Krishna, you know, if Krishna thinks about us, why do we think about us ourselves? He will take care of us. So this is the understanding which has to come to us. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, what is faith? Faith means that you know that Krishna is the person, if he is happy, you are happy. If you water the root of the tree, and if you put the food in the stomach, then everything else is okay. You know, you don't have to feed your legs separately, you know. You don't take your leg and try to put some nice chowl there. You know. It's not going to work anyway. So the stomach is there for food, the root is there for the water, and God is there for us to become happy. If he is happy with our service, if he is really happy, then everything else is nice. Everything else is there. And this is called faith. And the only source of this faith, the initial faith you can get by association, there is no doubt about it. But the real faith you can get from studying of the scriptures, which is also association. Srila Narottam Das Thakur says that there are two types of sadhu sangha. One type of sadhu sangha, when you come and speak with sadhu, or you are in proximity with the sadhu, you are just nearby. You know, this is good. Sarva siddhi, sarva shastra hoy. Sarva siddhi, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra hoy. You know, just by this you get little faith. What it means, sarva siddhi, lava matra sadhu sangha, that just by moment of association with a saintly person, you can get little faith. But then, you know, what is there, he says, there is second kind of sadhu sangha. First kind of sadhu sangha is just physical proximity. He says, but sometimes it's not possible for us to see sadhu. Sadhus are not so often seen. Or sometimes there are some bogus people who claim to be sadhus. But Narottam Das Thakur says that just reading scriptures is also sadhu sangha. Just reading scriptures, reading Bhagavad Gita, reading Shastra is the most important kind of sadhu sangha which should be done. Then our consciousness can be totally, completely purified. And when our consciousness is purified, the face is there, and when the face is there, everything is fine. The conviction is there, everything is fine. So basically, this is the most important message which Krishna says. Then, if you have this faith, then you will understand what Krishna means. Then, love of God will come to you automatically. And then everything else will come to you. It's no problem. You will get used to it. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains that, you know, that the people with beginning faith, they sleep. But luckily for us, there is the process how to develop faith, how to make our faith profound and completely unshaken. And Prabhupada says, actually, what is the first class faith? Very interestingly, in this purport. Because sometimes he explains about Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. And sometimes we think Uttama Adhikari is somebody who is really, really, really up there in the clouds. Prabhupada explains, who is Uttama Adhikari? One who has Nishtha. According to Prabhupada's definition, Uttama Adhikari is somebody who has Nishtha. Because he says, if you have Nishtha, everything else is guaranteed to you. From Nishtha there will be Asakti and, you know, Ruchi and Asakti and Bhava and Kama. The main crux of the issue is how to reach Nishtha, when the faith becomes unshakable. And the only way to achieve Nishtha is to study books of His Divine Grace, Sivaktivana Swami Prabhupada. Not just become, it's nice to come for the Sunday program, very good. There's no doubt about it. It's nice to get some prasadam. It's nice to jump a little bit. But the most important thing is to understand what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhavam atah sarvam pravartate. Idimatva bhajanti mam buddha bhava samandita. If you understand this, that everything is coming from Krishna. And if you understand this, buddha bhava samandita, you will be overwhelmed by this bhava, by this love. This is Krishna. Everything is coming from me. Everything I need is coming from God. Why do I need to do something else? Why do I need to waste my time for something else? So that's my little presentation for this verse. Thank you very much. Is there any questions? Do we have time for questions?
Yes,
sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, I have one question. So, Maharaj, you said the beginning of faith is. Maharaj, you said the beginning of faith is as a natural thing. The beginning of faith should come from inside, not outside. And to develop faith, study scripture. So actually, the person who is not have any inside faith and not coming inside, how we will subject that actually at least you come to that level and that.
See, initially the face is coming from outside. It's always like this. Initially the face is coming from somebody who is doing this. I'm looking at this person. And I feel that he is doing some right things, you know. Initially the face is this feeling that he is right and I am wrong. When I see somebody who has a very strong or nice face, I get this feeling that I'm doing something wrong. I don't live properly. So this is the face, and it's coming not from inside, it's coming from me. But then the next point is that you have to really internalize it in the sense that, you know, you really have to ask yourself why he is doing this, what is good about it, and the reasons of this is explained in the books of Srila Prabhupada, basically. So how to get it from outside inside is that you really have to think and you have to understand that this is something for you. Because sometimes when we get the face from outside, we do it because this particular person will be pleased with you. Initially, everyone more or less starts practicing something only because he is dependent on somebody else whom he respects. And to gain respect or to gain some recognition in the eyes of this particular person, we start doing it. It's very common kind of beginning of our practice. But ultimately, to understand, you know, to get it inside means to understand that I need it, not he. You know. Even if he gives it up, I will not give it up. Because I need it, it's necessary for me. And this understanding only comes after some manana, when you do some kind of, you know, reflection. Nice reflection about the meanings of the scripture, this Shastra Artha. You know, the Srila Jiva Goswami, he gives the definition of Shraddha. In Bhakti Sandarbha, he says, Shastra Artha Vishwas. Shraddha is Shastra Artha Vishwas. Complete conviction in the meaning of the Shastra. And Shastra Artha Vishwas means also, Vishwas means conviction, complete conviction, trust. But Shastra Artha means, not just kind of partial understanding, but the understanding of the deeper meaning of the Shastra. So this is what it is. Because when we read Bhagavad Gita in the beginning, it's just kind of also doesn't really come into the complete picture. It sounds good, but it's not, you don't understand the art wholly. But faith comes when there is Shastra Artha Vishwas, when you understand Bhagavad Gita as a whole. Because, as I said, so many people read Bhagavad Gita, and so many people know Bhagavad Gita to a certain extent. You ask them, what is Bhagavad Gita, and then they say, Kulo Dharma Sanatana, the eternal duties of my family. Something like this. It's also from Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna says, Kulo Dharma Sanatana, the eternal duties of my family life. My family responsibility or something else. So Shastrata Vishwas is Shraddha, which is coming when you know scripture as something coherent, consistent.
Please. Mentioning about the study of scriptures.
Yes.
I find that even when I'm trying to I find that when I'm trying to access the purpose of Srila Prabhupada, the mind does get into the switch off mode. And quite like Alexander the Great, I forget what's behind. I try to apply something for 2 days and it goes off the mind. I go like a zombie. How do I go beyond that? It's very mechanical.
See, the problem is that they are mechanical. Especially now in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga in Shastra it is called Yantra Yuga. Yantra Yuga means machine. You have machine for everything.
you have machine for, you know, for you know, saving yourself, you have machine for washing, you have machine for cooking, you have machine for baking bread, you have machine. And very soon there will be there is already machines for chanting, you know, just switch it on Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Very nicely. it's called Japa Yantra. So, because of too much Yantra Sangha, association with these machines, it also became machine-like. People, what is wrong with this mechanical age, day and age, is that people tend to become more and more mechanical in everything which they do. They don't know what it means to switch on consciousness. Because, see, when there is dealings, the only exception, you know, and in most of the areas of our life, you can do it in a switch-off mode, more or less. If you're good at it, you can drive car, you know, without thinking what you're doing, you know, just doing mechanically. Like one friend of mine told me that, he said, if I don't tell myself in the beginning when I sit to the car, where should I go? Usually I drive home, even though if I need to go somewhere else. Because somehow or other, you know, my mind is somewhere else and I'm driving, you know, home. Because this is the place I used to drive. So, you know, we tend to become mechanical. There is only one exception, where you cannot be mechanical. That's relationship with people. Because if you are mechanical with other people, you offend them. If you try to be mechanical with other people, if you don't, you know, engage your heart in it, then it's an offense. If you look at others as some machines or some robots, you know, if you don't reciprocate with them, then this is offense. And you immediately feel it. You know, I did something wrong. So, and basically dealing with Krishna, Krishna is also a person. If we offend somebody by dealing with him, if I offend this little boy by dealing with him in a mechanical way, how much we can offend Krishna if we deal with him mechanically? Now, he doesn't like it. He's a person. He's living. He's a living spirit. So, the first lesson which we have to understand is that you cannot deal mechanically with living persons. And if you have some experience how to deal with living persons, then you will be able to apply the same kind of mood in your practice of Krishna consciousness. Basically, you know, what is said that Bhagavad Gita, or especially Srimad Bhagavatam, is no different from Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. He can manifest, like Prabhupada says, that Krishna can manifest himself in each and every word of Srimad Bhagavatam. You can meet, in one purport, Prabhupada says that you can meet Krishna on every page of this book. You can meet with him personally. It's not exaggeration, but it depends on your particular mood. So, the traditional system is like this. You understand that this is Krishna himself. Like why we put, it is supposed to be that when we put a scripture, the asana for scripture has to be more opulent than the asana for the speaker. Because it's direct manifestation of Vyasadeva. You know, so the Vedic culture teaches us how to relate to scriptures as living entities. They're living. You know, I know this on my own experience. If you really relate to Bhagavatam as a living person, you know, you open Bhagavatam on every page, he will answer your particular query or doubt or something like this. It's amazing. You know, Bhagavatam really can reciprocate with you. So the same kind of mood we should try to develop when we read scriptures. I know it's difficult because we tend, again, yes, right. Tendency is there because we are too much mechanical due to our bad association, basically. We are, you know, we have this telephone, mobile telephone, and we have computer,
And very soon we will not need anyone else because we have all the machines there. People become so mechanical at their hearts. But what we should try, practicing Krishna consciousness means practice relating with the scriptures and with Krishna itself. This is Krishna directly speaking to you. That's what he said to you today. To you. So, and if you open Bhagavad Gita, try to read it in the same kind of mood, with the same understanding. This is, you know, Krishna himself, God himself, came to you, and he wants to say something to you. Then maybe it will be less mechanical. For 2 minutes. Before you forget about it.
One simple question. Why not all the people take to Krishna consciousness?
Because they are envious.
Because they are?
Envious. Because they don't want to surrender to God. Because people, the majority of people, actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada used to say that in this world, atheists will be in majority all the time. You cannot expect that everyone will be just, you know, nice people. Devotees will be in minority always. Krishna says in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that out of many, many millions of people, kaschit yatati siddhaye, hardly anyone is striving for perfection. Manushyanam sahasrishu, out of many, many thousands of people, hardly anyone wants to achieve perfection. And out of this many, many people who achieve perfection, hardly anyone knows me. So in this world, the real sincere devotees will always be very minority. Most of the people will be atheists, no matter how they call themselves. They may call themselves devotees, they may call themselves Christians, they may call themselves Muslims, they will be atheists. You know, there are so many varieties of atheism here. Christianity, you know, Muslim religion, Buddhism, Bhakti Yoga, so it can all be, you know, convenient excuse to remain not surrendered soul. Because surrender is a labor of the heart. It's a labor of love. It's not easy. Yes.
You said to develop faith, but to understand Krishna as a person.
Yes.
That's the basis of faith.
Yes.
Now, you say that when Krishna means all attractive and enjoyable. Now, you also say that in the beginning only Krishna was there. There was no one else. Then he expanded himself. So at that point of time, what is the relevance of the name Krishna?
Where is what?
What is the relevance of the name Krishna? When he alone was there, there is no Krishna.
No. When the scriptures say, it is said in Upanishads, Eko Bahusyam. There was one and he became many. But it's only said for our understanding. We shouldn't take it literally. Like Bhagavad Gita's version is much more correct. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, what is this verse? Najayate mriyadiva kadachin. So, the soul has never been born, has never came into existence. The soul has always been there. So, Krishna is God, right? And God means, this is personal conception of God. Personal conception of God means God and His energies, right? There was never time when God was without His energies. And which energies does He have? He has Chit Shakti, He has, you know, Achit Shakti, material energy, Prakriti, and He has Tatastha, marginal Shakti, Jiva soul. It means that all these energies were always there. If Krishna is a person, it means that they are beginningless, anadi. Krishna is anadi, His energies is also anadi. He himself says about this in Bhagavad Gita. In the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, he says, Prakriti Purusham Chaiva Vidhyanadi Ubhavati. These two, Prakriti and Purusha, Jiva, soul, Anadi, no beginning. So from the very beginning, there was souls and there was things. It's just for our understanding that the basic principle, that the basic, how to say, that the spiritual tattva is one, it is said, ekobahusya, that this variety is coming from one source, basically. But ultimately, it's not the, you cannot take it literally. There was always Krishna and his energies, and his energies were always serving me. Krishna is called there is this nice concept of Seshatva. Seshatva. Krishna is called Sheshi. And we are called Shesha. Shesha means part. Shesha means the remaining, the remainder. So his Shesha means complete whole, and we are part. And our dharma, our nature is to serve the complete whole, Sheshi. You know, I'm Shesha, therefore I have to serve Sheshi. So he's always Krishna. He's always all attractive. The problem is that he is attracting everyone. There's only one exception, it's me. Everyone else is attracted to him. I'm not attracted because my heart is covered too much. So that's how we should think. You know, everyone is attracted to Krishna. Only I'm too dull to become attracted to him. Okay.
But actually recently in the net, actually there is a propaganda that going on in London, most of the towns, that there are 200 buses are traveling, that atheist people are propagating that there is no God. So actually how we are going to contract as a ISKCON follower?
See, Srila Prabhupada, he knew that, you know, what we have to explain, we have to follow the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, he had this complete, absolute, strong conviction that all the problems of this world are coming from our head-being. And this is how he conquered the world, because he came with this urgent message, and he could explain the urgency of this message to every person. You know, when he was speaking, like in 77, when he was sick, he was basically about to leave his body. People, they tell, there was a big Pandal program arranged in Delhi. In Delhi, big Pandal program. Thousands of people came. And Prabhupada was so sick, he couldn't move. So devotees would bring him on a palanquin to the stage. And he said to Bhavananda, "Bhavananda Maharaj, you please give the lecture." And Bhavananda Maharaj started reading some Prabhupada book. Prabhupada pulled for, he was reading. And devotees were seeing that with every word, Prabhupada would become, you know, he would become like, you know, it was pumping energy into him. When Bhavananda stopped reading the purport, Prabhupada sat down and he started preaching like a lion. He was roaring. The whole world is going to, I don't know where. It doesn't have to go to hell because it's already hell. We are already living in hell. We are in complete hell because of this total, complete absent-mindedness of people, that they forget simple thing that there is God and they have to serve God. And this is the message which was there. So this is what Prabhupada brought to us. This is the mood which we have to emulate in our life. You know, that we shouldn't sleep peacefully unless we really try to give this understanding to people. Because people, you know, here in India it's still more or less somewhat busy.
even though it goes really quickly to hell too, you know. If you go to Bombay, oh my goodness, it's not India anymore. It's worse than any Western city in the world. But in other cities, people take drugs. People have all kinds of, you know, they're suffering. The whole world is suffering. So this atheist, they're making this big propaganda. They're paying money.
Yeah.
And they are...
25,000 pounds, right? They collect that.
Yeah. So, but we are using, yeah, it's okay. So this is what it means. This is what it means to understand that Krishna is the root cause of everything in this world. You know, to understand this and serve him with this mood. You know, because he says at the end of Bhagavad Gita, if somebody is telling about this message to other people who have some spark of devotion with their hearts, he is the most dear to me. He is the most dear servant of mine. This is how he explains to us what it means to serve him. To serve him means to see the little spark in the heart of other person and to try to ignite this spark by fanning it. In a proper way. Okay. Thank you very, very much. I'm very grateful for your nice attention.
Jai.
Please.